time. I'm Eric Major.
I'm Augustus Waiters.
And unfortunately, we are without the services of Martin French, who is currently out on the West Coast. He's looking to see how the other half lives. And he's looking to see if the axiom is true that it never rains in Southern California, because it sure as hell is raining a lot here.
Well, I believe it rained today in Southern California.
He hasn't given us our report yet, so we don't know.
I don't really need a report from him. You just check Wikipedia or something. Check Google.
Check the Googles. We got a couple really good legs for you today. Our home leg, we're talking about the Rovers-West Virginia Chaos match that happened the other day. Wasn't a good match for them particularly in terms of score, but hey, you know what? There's a lot of positives to come out of it. And our away leg?
Our away leg, we are talking the absolute farce that was the Copa Libertadores El Superclásico between Boca and River. I don't even know what to say. We'll get to it when we get to it.
Indeed. It should be noted that our match statistics will be courtesy of the USLPDL website, because, you know, they're going to be the authoritative source unless you're standing right there watching the match.
Yeah.
Our Derby City Rovers got beat by the West Virginia Chaos 3-0.
What can you do? From what I understand, I mean, obviously, some of us, we weren't there because we had other things to do that night. From what I understand, we only had about a half squad, if I remember recall correctly.
It wasn't a full-strength squad.
Yeah, it was not a full-strength squad. It was not – everybody was not playing at 100%. And with the PDL, you've got to remember that a lot of these players, for the most part, are literally just getting out of college. And so their seasons – you know, and this is becoming less so with the introduction of spring friendlies with some of these colleges. But some of these guys, they're getting out of college. You know, they've just done finals week, a week or 2 weeks ago, and it's party time. And they've let themselves go. And it happened last year. We had quite a few of our DCR guys that just come out of college, just come out of their nearest rager. And didn't exactly put up a great showing in the first game. So it was to be expected. It sucks to lose 3-0.
Which is ironic that you say that, because they led twice in that first match against Cincinnati last year. I went back and looked that up.
Did they?
Cincinnati had to fight back twice to equalize.
Why do I remember them losing that game?
I think that was the return leg.
That was the return leg, probably. Yeah.
Of note from the match, Deion Peters of West Virginia Chaos got a hat trick in 17 minutes.
Hooray?
That's... for him.
It is a moment of congratulation, but
still, you know, it's worth noting that a kid from the opposition did get a hat trick. You don't see those too often, unless, you know, you're looking at 5-year-olds and they're all chasing the ball.
Yeah, true. Although Sadio Mane this week would say, yeah, 17 minutes, got to speed that up there, kid.
Just a little bit, right? Highlights in the statistics: Rovers had 16 shots with 14 on target to West Virginia's 8 with 8 on target.
Yeah, that's 100% accuracy there, kids. Can't get much better.
But that kind of goes to show that the score doesn't tell the tale of the match.
Very true.
I couldn't find a possession percentage, which kind of made me mad, because I was hoping to get that.
It's the PDL. What are you expecting, dude?
I know. But still, you know, I'm kind of finicky that way. Rovers had Jeffs, our keeper, had 3 saves to Teepin, West Virginia's 9 saves. I mean, we're putting the ball on goal. That's encouraging. First match in.
Yeah, bombarding the net is a sound tactic, because eventually those go in, and if you bombard them hard enough, they're bound to make a mistake. So I'm glad to see we're taking a very attacking focused methodology to our approach. But
once they found their feet, they really kind of picked it up. You know, you look at the leaders on shots, Carl Jones and Alexi Poksalo of Finland, whose name I'm not entirely sure I pronounce. I apologize, Alexi, if I mispronounced your name, with 4 shots each. Those are 2 new guys coming in making an impact.
And good, fantastic. This is exactly what we wanted to see. We wanted to see very high press attacking soccer, you know, the swashbuckling football that we've been hyping ever since we started the boarding crew, and even before then. So I'm glad to see that we've got 2 guys up front that can pepper the goal. I would hope that within the next week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, our finishing gets a little bit better.
Well, Jones is your forward. Poksalo plays midfield.
Even better. We're getting some attacking from even farther behind, or, you know, Poksalo is making more runs. I don't remember. Was the game streamed this time?
No, it was not.
It was not streamed. So, unfortunately, we can't. Well, obviously, we weren't there.
No, unfortunately.
So, and we can't watch a replay to tell you exactly how good or bad they looked. Although, by stats, they looked pretty damn good. So,
from the Rovers report on Twitter, they looked pretty good, too.
So, you know, yes, you let in a hat trick in 17 minutes, but the fact that the final score is still 3-0 says you kept them out for 73. I'm terrible with math.
You let me do the math. You worry about looking pretty, I'll do the math.
Well, if you're worried about me looking pretty, you've automatically failed.
The other thing to note, too, is Keane McIver, who's the captain of the team. He led with fouls and got a yellow card for his trouble, too.
Oh, so we got a new Robbie Tarver.
We do have a new Robbie Tarver.
Oh, this is awesome.
But we still have Robbie Tarver. So
we have Robbie Tarver and new Robbie Tarver.
He's Robbie Tarver, too, electric boogaloo.
So we've got Robbie Tarver Classic.
Yes.
And we've got new Robbie Tarver.
Yes, we do. We should take a poll to see who wants to be kept. My post-match thoughts based upon the information I saw was it was kind of a tough opener to lose. I'm a bit disappointed we lost, but 73 minutes of scoreless football with a handful of shots that were on net peppering their keeper makes me happy. It means they're working on building everything up, and it's a good sign. You know, two of which were shots off the post within 4 minutes of them getting the hat trick.
You know, as far as responsiveness goes, fantastic. I like the fact that they clearly are keeping their heads up. You know, it's not what you see it so many times. You let that one goal in. Yeah, I think the first goal came in within the second minute, and you just let your head drop. And you're like, oh, well, we're up against it. Let's call it. Let's just wrap it up. Try to get through this. No. They kept their heads up. They kept pushing. They kept fighting the whole way through. And yes, the result didn't come their way. But hey, all we want from a team, and this isn't just, you know, this PDL team. This is every team that ever laces up their boots and steps on any pitch anywhere in the world. Give it your best. That's what we want. Give it your best. And if you do that, we're going to be happy.
And keeping with the theme of new people making an impact, the first shot off the post was from Andre Carvalho Landell, who is new to the club, and the other one was from our captain, Keane McIver.
Hey, good for them.
And they're looking strong in terms of they're putting balls on net, they're going in, they're making a forceful challenge. Luck just wasn't in their way.
And you're going to have those days where luck's just not with you, and it sucks, but hey, maybe next when FC London comes down, it's not their day and it's our day.
Well, getting to that, that's an interesting point. Nathan says the full squad should be here Wednesday.
Fantastic.
We should be.
Although I will say this, that only gives us what, 3 days to turn around and get everybody together.
Well, in keeping with the interesting theme of strangeness, FC London the night before plays in Dayton.
Yeah, we've got a couple of those back-to-back days games. And
no, ours aren't back-to-back. We've got a day's rest. They're going straight down here from Dayton.
I think we have a back-to-back. It's one of our away trips.
I could be wrong. I don't have the schedule in front of me.
I'm pretty sure we do, and unfortunately it would take too much time for me to look at my slow phone and verify this, but I'm pretty sure we've got a back-to-back somewhere in, like, July where we're up at, like, Kings.
I thought it was, like, one day of rest between.
I think it's a back-to-back with Michigan and K-Dub, but I don't remember. Next two-legged tie, we'll look that up for you. And we'll have that information. We'll have our schedule in front of us. I got the schedule cards in my car, and I'm stupid enough to not bring them in.
I don't feel too bad. I didn't bring mine either. Yeah. The other thing, too, is, you know, with it being full squad, we should be looking strong. And they'll be fresh comparatively.
With a week's rest. And, you know, granted, I really don't like only having 3 days of practice with your full squad. Because what can you really do in 3 days outside of conditioning? But, you know, I still have high hopes for our home opener. It looks, unfortunately, like the smoke bombs that I had ordered will not arrive in time for the home opener.
Well, you and I will discuss something with regard to that after the show.
Okay.
Oh,
we got a backup plan, huh?
No. Well, partially, yes.
Okay.
Another thing that I was wondering, too, is if London's coming down, they're playing 2 days in a row, and they're traveling 3-4 hours, are they bringing a big squad, or are they just going to basically tough it out?
I don't think any PDL team, as of right now, has what you could consider a big squad. I think they're going to...
It's 25-man roster, but are they going to bring the full 25 men, or are they going to...
That's a very good question. Well, I mean, London will be coming from where?
Canada. A.
Well, Toronto, when they came down here, I mean, for the big club, didn't really bring a full squad.
Well, we don't know. Well, I don't know how they did their standing, how they had their rotation from St. Louis. Which is why I'm wondering how London.
How London's going to do it? Yeah. You know what?
Because I don't know what we're going to be running up against in terms of quality of play. I don't know if they're going to be absolutely exhausted or if they're going to have a B squad that's going to be ready to tear us apart.
Well, a 25-man roster. Did they use all their subs, by the way?
Not that I could tell.
Okay, so.
Well, they haven't played yet. Their first match is Thursday.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's.
And Rovers used two. Rovers used more than two. They used four.
We used four, so, well, it wouldn't matter for us. We'll have to see on Thursday what their kind of how many subs they use, what they bring. I would hazard a guess that they are not going to bring a full squad. I think they're going to bring their standard 18, and just rotate the subs in on Saturday. That's what I would assume, and that would make more sense because you can kind of stick with the same back line, and depending on how they line up, they might have the same two center backs and an anchor. That remain the same because they're not really doing too much to be tired out, but the rest of the guys get rotated. But, I mean, we won't know.
I guess we'll see on that.
Yeah, we'll see.
I have news to follow up with something you asked recently. I got to see the home strip finally.
Hooray!
The home strip is the strip they were wearing in the posters.
Yes, the away strip of last year.
Yes, and then the away strip, I just have the top. It's black with blue side vents.
Oh, cool.
I'm looking forward to actually seeing it in full because we got to see it yesterday at the Louisville Independent Business Association Fest down on Water Tower.
The LIBA Fest, which was it's a fantastic organization for those of you that are listening to this in Louisville. All those businesses that are part of that association do fantastic work in our community. Go support them. If you see a LIBA buy local here sticker in a shop, please try to patronize that shop.
Yeah, we the boarding crew want to thank Nathan and Natasha Pitcock for having us join them. And just having fun. It was a good time up until the storm rolled through and blew everybody away.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was asleep then.
But. It was an experience seeing a whole bunch of people scampering behind the water tower to try to avoid wind because wind goes around circular objects.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know what? They've had the Reggae Fest, which they've usually had down there, rained out once or twice.
That's next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and it's always funny seeing that one get rained out and all the people that were wearing, traditional Jamaican attire. And I don't mean to say that in a semi-racist way, but, wearing the short sleeve Jamaican colored shirts and shorts, suddenly be confronted with a 30 degree rainstorm and find themselves flying under every possible cover you can find.
Yes.
In a mile radius, which is quite entertaining. Go to the Reggae Fest, not just for the music, but for the off chance that we get some cataclysmic weather and people go absolutely bonkers trying to avoid it.
Yes. We also got to meet some of the players, and we got to see our old friend Robbie Tarver.
How is he?
He's doing well.
Good.
It was good to see him, as always. And we also found out some news. Alejandro Garcia is not returning.
Well, there goes my Alejandro Garcia song.
He'll be playing for the Cincinnati Dutch Lions.
Oh, well, now there's going to be an Alejandro Garcia song.
Yes.
Just not the way he's thinking.
We wish him the best.
Against us.
Well, I was going to say, we wish him the best, but we intend to be merciless with our attempts at getting in his head.
Oh, when he's here?
When he's here and on the ball.
When that number 21, if he still wears 21, gets here and plays against us, we're going to have some fun.
Oh, yes. You and I are going to have some fun. And I was doing a little bit of research today, and I think it may have some chance in the works for us.
Oh, yeah.
I was looking at some higher-level Rovers chants from Rovers across the pond.
Oh.
There are quite a few lovely chants that I want to borrow, appropriate, and make them our own.
Well, we're Americans. Let's just take it. Manifest destiny, these chants.
There you go. Yes, we will take them by the white man's burden.
Except there's a black guy here, so I have no idea how that's going to work, but whatever.
It is what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild time. We're looking forward to seeing everybody out there Friday. Get out there, have some fun.
All 20 of you.
Don't forget to use your boarding crew season ticket discount.
Yes, it is boarding crew, all one word.
Capitalized.
Capitalized, the B and the C. At the promo code, because what that does is it's going to take 50%. Your normal ticket is what, $10 at the gate?
Yeah.
And so your season ticket is, I think it's like $8 at the gate.
Season ticket
is like $7. $7 per ticket. I mean, the per ticket price is like $7.50. Yes. If you use the boarding crew, that price goes down to $5.
Minus the fees and
The slight fee, but it's like a $3 something fee.
I think for mine and for Liz, it was 37 and change per set.
Yeah, so it ended up being like, is like two something change. But still, that's your $70 in tickets that you're getting for 35. Half off. It's too good. I know we kind of gave you bad information when we said 21 like a couple weeks ago, but 35, still too good. Bargain at twice the price, although it wouldn't be a bargain at twice the price. But
well done.
But seriously, it's too good a deal.
And you're going to see some amazing talent, and you're going to see a lot of kids who could be playing professional football next year.
You're going to see a lot of up-and-coming talent, and you get to be able to say, I knew them when.
Yes. That is the other thing that is really, really important, is you get to know these players. You get to know them face-to-face. You're doing the guard of honor with us at the beginning and end of matches and at halftime.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. How many people, if they knew where Michael Jordan was going to be, would say, I'd pay whatever amount of money to see him when he was a high school player?
Only his bookies, probably, just so they could break his knees in advance.
Oh, well.
For all of his debts.
He's paid off most of those.
PR minefield. I'm going to be quiet.
Yeah, man. He's a billionaire now. He's perfectly fine now, but back in the day, not so much. But still, I mean, the ability to say I knew these players when is an incredible, incredible feeling to see somebody's career grow. You know, off topic, but Rajon Rondo, who is now the guard for the Dallas Mavericks, was playing with the Boston Celtics when they won their title back in, was it 2008?
He was Andrew Farrell.
Andrew Farrell of the
River City Rovers.
Formerly the River City Rovers just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
2 years ago, this man was in the River City Rovers playing in,
Christian Academy.
Christian Academy, yeah. And there he was last year in the MLS Cup Final.
Has he gotten a cap from the U.S. yet?
No, he has not. Although, I think his chances are less now that he's... You know what? No, I take it back. I think his chances are better, slightly, that he's moved to center.
His profile should have gone up with playing in the MLS Cup.
Yeah, but he played there as an outside back more of than a center back. So we'll have to see how he handles being a center back this year. If he does well and they go back to the MLS Cup Final or even make a somewhat deep run, I think he gets a call up somewhere in 2016.
Wouldn't that be a thing to say?
I saw this kid playing at U of L and at Christian Academy, and there he is suiting up with the United States.
Representing the country. Yeah.
Exactly.
We will be back in just a moment.
Welcome back to Two-Legged Tie, where we get to talk Copa Libertadores and the absolute shambolic. And I mean shambolic. This is absolutely
absurd.
Absurd. I've run out of
your hyperbole and your...
Yeah, my syllables are... not syllables. Synonyms are running out because I don't have the words in my vocabulary to accurately describe Boca Juniors versus River Plate in this match. And
I'm still in shock.
I'm literally... It's one of those things where you are thinking about soccer and football in the civilized world. You're England's. I don't mean to call the people of Argentina uncivilized. I really don't.
I'm merely making light of the fact that derby is the antithesis of civilized.
Well, true.
But that however, take
but
away
still,
from it.
Still, here's the thing. Argentina is not some backwater. Argentina is a developed country with a pretty good economy, where there aren't, and while in the past there was corruption, but today, iffy.
And their football came from England, from the English sailors that came through.
Yeah, and England and Argentina are not exactly friends, so I don't know.
That came much later.
Yeah, very true. But you'd figure, especially having your game being introduced by the English, that you take a kind of gentleman's approach to it. You would hope, and I understand what I'm saying may escape the vast majority of the people that are listening to this, but
That's not necessarily true.
Not very, very true. You know, I think there are a considerable amount of people that are listening to this podcast that are very well versed in the international game. But I'm more speaking to the people that said, you know what, this is a Friday?
Yeah,
Friday night. Not really doing anything. Who was playing in the MLS? Nobody.
I don't remember who was playing.
Exactly. That's the point.
You had USL matches. You could have watched them on YouTube.
Yes, you did. You had USL matches that were pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, they were all right. But
this is the big one in South America.
This is the big one in South America. I mean, think about when people think about derby matches, big rivalry matches. They're thinking the Manchester United Liverpools. They're thinking the Arsenal Tottenhams. They're thinking Bayern Munich Borussia Dortmund. They're thinking Barcelona Real. They're thinking the Ace the Milans. They're thinking
the Derby della Capitale.
Yeah,
Lazio and
Lazio Roma. Lazio Roma does get violent. I have to that one.
Istanbul with Galatasaray and Fenerbahce.
That one gets violent too. In fact, didn't they like a couple years back have to abandon the stadium?
Yes.
And basically, and I remember that was a fun one because Fenerbahce ended up playing a match with a stadium filled with women because the Turkish authorities had banned all the men from starting a fight. And that was actually a really good game.
You also see it in Uruguay with Peñarol and Nacional.
The point is that you're hoping that the game has gotten to a point where violence is not a part of it. I mean, think about how many disasters have happened in the world of football that have started because of crowd.
Hazel.
Yeah.
You've got various Ibrox. You have three Ibrox instances.
Yeah.
Two of which were actually interaction with the crowd. The first one was just shoddy building.
And ice, yeah.
Valley Parade was just a fluke. Hillsborough didn't have anything to do with that. Hillsborough was just an entirely different
Hillsborough was a failure of police control.
It was an entirely different kettle of fish. Yeah. It wasn't crowd interaction.
Yeah.
You've had various and sundry. I mean, look at the Yugoslav independence.
Yeah, I mean
that was partisan and
Red Star.
Yes, thank you.
And even in Mexico, they had I think it was like two days ago. They had a derby that I don't remember who the teams were, but it ended up being delayed for 30 minutes because they were fighting between each other.
Yes.
But either way, you're hoping that in today's day and age, regardless of whatever stripe you may have, that violence is away from the game. You're hoping that. And for the Boca Juniors fans to deliberately bring in pepper spray and pepper.
Did you see the video?
I did not see the video.
God. The video is just ridiculous. You see one of the cameramen on the – it was coming back. You see, you know, they've got the camera on the tunnel. They cut off to the side, and you see a guy cutting a hole in the inflatable tunnel and dropping something in the tunnel. You don't actually see what it is, whether it's a pepper spray bomb or whatever. But you see later on the outside, you see stains from the spray, and you see all these players coming out looking like they just came out of a war zone. And you see spray – you see – pepper stains on their backs too. It's traumatic if you're not prepared for it. In terms of just the sight of it all, it's very, very, very moving and kind of painful, but it's really kind of interesting to see it as it happened. One of the other reports is saying that one of the policemen got Rivers' backup keeper with pepper spray. It's amazing. And then the River players, after the match was called, had to be led off with a canopy of riot shields to protect them. Because Boca's supporters were throwing crap at them again.
I mean, they were stranded in the middle of that pitch for 2 hours.
Yes.
Because they couldn't secure a 10-by-8 exit for them to safely leave the pitch. That, to me, is not only just a failure of police control, but it's also a failure of the fans to recognize that, hey, this is a game. This is a game. This is really what this is.
It's entertainment.
Soccer is a game. It is a fun game played by people who probably shouldn't be paid as much as they are paid, honestly. But it's a fun game that people love to watch and people love to play and people love to be a part of. But it's not a matter so much so of like life and death to the point where you feel it is your duty to sabotage the actual players of said game in order to try to influence a result. Did people honestly think that that game was going to go forward if they pepper sprayed the opposition?
I don't think they thought about it, because the guy who they caught on camera had apparently been banned from Boca's grounds. He can't be near any of their grounds, and somehow he got in.
Well, that's a failure of the stadium people.
That's a failure. Yes, that's a
and
failure.
And that's El Bombonera, I believe, is the stadium, and Boca owns that stadium outright, do they not?
I believe they do. It should also be noted too that the pepper spray was a mix of some kind of hot pepper, cayenne, and some type of acid.
Well, that's standard pepper spray, actually.
Yeah, so, first and second degree burns on those players.
So they actually got hit with a bomb then, because that's what happened.
Forehead down to the chest.
Yeah, you got hit with a bomb. Yeah. That's what that was. So I'm willing to bet that this guy either got it somewhere black marketish, or stole it from a police car.
Supposedly.
Well, then that's an incredible ingenuity, because usually you're not supposed to be able to make.
That's a lot of intent.
Yeah, that you're not supposed to be able to make that, and that guy has been caught, I'm assuming. They're in the process. Oh, well, okay. Argentina is a fairly large country, so well, I'm not going to...
Not just that, but Boca are also in the process of dealing with the punishment that was levied upon them.
Yeah. I hope you are.
1,790,440 Argentine pesos.
It's a rather random number, but when you look at the American, it comes out nice and even.
That's the 200,000 U.S. I thought I'd do a conversion for the sake of... So that we knew what they were paying.
Carry the four.
Yeah, exactly.
I was already told you I'm bad at math. Thank you for doing that.
It's amazing what Google can do for you.
Yeah.
Four matches, at least, I've seen between 4 and 8, where they have to play them behind closed doors or without supporters.
Standard fare. Closed-door matches.
Their home matches are closed door. They can't take supporters on the road.
Not standard fare about
those are international. Those are Copa Libertadores next season.
I'm surprised they're even in the competition.
They're right now running away with the Premier League in Argentina.
No, seriously, I'm still surprised.
I'm disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, I can understand that they are in prime position to go back, but I'm surprised that CONMEBOL just says, you can't even control your own people. If you can't control them, how can we control you? If I can't control you, I'm not gonna have you in my competition. You're done for a year. That's it.
The other big thing is that River now moves on to play Cruzeiro of Brazil in the quarterfinals.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's the ripples of this could last for many, many years. So we can discuss a bit more about the derby. I know I was introduced to it through Danny Dyer's documentary, The Real Football Factories, which was Bravo, and I forget who it was who did it across the pond. They had it on YouTube. It's a very, very good documentary about the hooligan firms that I encourage anyone to watch. Because if you really want to know about the culture and its dark side, that gives you Turkey, that gives you Argentina, that gives you Yugoslavia, gives you Bosnia, gives you England, Germany, Italy.
And another non-documentary film that I really do enjoy watching is the movie Green Street Hooligans, which is almost...
We're not West Ham fans.
Well, I do like seeing... Forever blowing bubbles every once in a while.
Fair enough. What about Millwall? You know, Millwall should be the London police.
Yeah, Millwall, need I remind you, what was it, 3 years ago?
Yes.
Went to Wembley and it was a FA Cup semifinal?
Mm-hmm.
FA Cup semifinal, supporters started a fight, ended up beating back the police, and they have a supporter on camera smiling as he takes a policeman's bobby and tries to hide it under his coat. I was like, dude, really? They have you on camera. This is Wembley here.
I have a soft side for Millwall supporters, because they're, aside from the fact, they're the last vestige of the working class in football supporters.
I believe they just went down, too. And I believe they're out.
Yeah, they're the last vestige of working class. They're a very family-oriented club. And, you know, that's dying in football.
Okay, do you want...
And frankly, the fact that they could basically police the entire city of London on their own just impresses and scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, but do you want that kind of family club?
You know what? When the riots were going on in London a few years ago, that they should have been the one policing it. Nobody would mess with them. Nobody... They should be going out chasing terrorists.
What was happening in London a couple years ago with the... What was it? I forgot the name of the black guy that was killed by the cops, and I'm gonna kick myself for forgetting his name.
It's all right. We can mention it. We can make the correction next week.
Yeah, true. But that would not have been a fantastic opportunity for Millwall fans to jump in the mix. I get what you're saying, but I think that while there's a place for the more family aspect in football, not that type of family.
It's separate. The hooligan side is separate from the family side, but the feel of Millwall is that they're more close-knit.
The feel of the brotherhood.
They're like football used to be.
The brotherhood kind of aspect of it is something I do like, but I don't want that kind of family.
To liken it in your parlance, it's like the cop used to be.
Yeah. Well, the cop still is, honestly.
Not quite like Shankly's days.
Yeah, but that's because the cop is now made differently.
Well,
and is priced quite high, yes. From what I understand. So you're part working class, part prawn sandwich guys are up in the cop now, versus the everyman who was sitting on the standing terrace. But
we're in Germany now. There's a terrace. That's a whole other discussion.
Another discussion.
The animosity between River and Boca is very, very well known.
Yeah.
And that's part of the...
They don't call it the Super Classico for nothing.
No. Oh, geez, no. And I think in a lot of ways, it's kind of eclipsed El Clasico. It's eclipsed the Mexican El Clasico with Cruz Azul and Club America. It's probably the best derby match club-wise in the world right now. Because they're both relatively evenly matched every year. It's not the ridiculousness that is Barcelona and Real, where it can go one way or the other all the time.
It tends
to be very one-dimensional, yeah. Whereas...
Well, I think that's because Argentinian football is kind of big, like most South American club football. It's kind of the forgotten land. You come out of it, but you're not really supposed to stay in it.
Which is really amazing, because the South American football that I've watched has been some of the best football I've ever watched.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It's technically a lot more advanced than most of Western Europe.
Although I will say this, Brazilian football.
Brazilian football is very hit or miss to me.
Yeah, it's got its moments. There are some games where you'll watch Vasco da Gama or somebody and they'll just knock your socks off. And then there'll be other games where you watch Internacional and I'm asleep 20 minutes in.
Or Santos. Santos are especially guilty of that lately.
Santos after Neymar.
I was going to say, after Neymar left, they've kind of turned into a bit of a cynical team, too.
Yeah. But, you know, what can you do?
But the next match, or the next fixture that was scheduled between River and Boca is for the 9th of June, and it's possibly going to be postponed, if not canceled altogether.
I would be very, very, very surprised if that was not played closed door.
Yeah, play it closed door or play it in Uruguay.
Uruguay? That might be worse.
Take it to a neutral ground.
Penarol guys might just walk in there and be like, you know, what's up?
they'll go to Rossing and play, you know. But you can also, with that, though, you can also have those firms or those supporters groups policing. And I think they'd be more effective in catching any sort of nefarious things.
Or
any
they just
ne'er-do-wells.
Or they just start one big fight.
That would just be a fun spectacle
to watch. Well, not for anybody playing the game, but sure. For me sitting 4,000, 5,000 miles away, just chilling on a...
With the buffer of a continent and a subcontinent, yes.
Yeah, that'd be fun time. Go ahead, fight. I don't care.
Put it on TV, that's right.
Just hope nobody else gets hurt.
Oh, that is important. We don't want to see any more players get hurt.
We
don't like hearing stories about this.
Yeah, I am very disgusted about the events of this weekend with this derby, and I hope, although I know it's a kind of a false hope because it's not going to happen this way, that this doesn't happen again.
I
concur.
I would have to echo that sentiment. That is something I'd like to see. I'd like to see a bit more control in terms of how these supporters groups express themselves in terms of rivalries like this.
Make tifos, make chants. Glitter bomb people.
Yes, glitter bomb people. That's exactly what they should do.
Yeah, glitter bomb the
glitter bomb the tunnel, so it's an explosion of bright sparkles as they walk out.
Yeah, exactly. Do that. Don't use pepper spray. Glitter.
That's the way to go.
Glitter.
See, we've just solved the problem.
Yes.
And on that note, we should probably call it a day since we've solved that big problem.
We have solved the problem of violence in the international community of soccer. You've been listening to Two Legged Tie. I've been Augustus Waiters.
Well, first we should tell them where they can find us.
Oh, well, I'm still Augustus Waiters. You can find me on Twitter at @awaiters86 or at gmails AugustusW86@gmail.com.
And you can find the boarding crew at Lou Boarding Crew on Twitter, at Lou Boarding Crew on Facebook. They're now linked together in terms of the Twitter will take you to the Facebook, and the Facebook will take you to the Twitter.
We're high tech, bro.
It's almost meta. And you can email us at the Gmails at louisville.boarding.crew. Please give us topics. Give us feedback. Give us your impressions on the match afterward. We love to read it.
Give us your money, because we'll take that too.
Just 10%.
Just 10%.
Just 10%.
Thank you. We'll give you back 90.
There you go.
We'll just take 10%.
We'll give you back 100, because we'll give you the 110%.
Wow. That was deep.
That's a stretch.
Write that down, everybody.
Yes, write that down. Thank you very much for listening.
Arrgh!